Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for freedom we have to be here, for a place to be. Father, thank you that your word is true. As we look at it today, remind us how you want to use it in our life today and the rest of this year, not only for our own lives, but for your glory. Father, we ask you for the ones who lost loved ones, that you truly would just comfort them, arrest their attention. For the ones that we mentioned that need to know you, that you would also send something in their life to arrest their attention and they would yield. Father, we thank you that you love us and you want to see us with our lives living for you. Thank you, Lord. And this day, we ask that your blessings would be upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are early on into 2023, and what we're looking at today is an issue that all of us have to recognize, and that is there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but I want to ask you, and don't answer this out loud, okay? What is the thing you fear the most in your personal life? What is it you're afraid of? What is it that's easy for you to become overly concerned, anxious, worried? What is that? All of us have something. Depending on your personality, it would depend on how you handle that somewhat. But there's always God's word that gives us a guideline on how to do that. And a lot of times Christians who say, oh yeah, we trust Jesus and he defeated Satan and we have a place in eternity. Oh yeah, we trust that, but we don't to trust him with the decision we got to make tomorrow. So that's where the honesty is. Do we really, or do we worry about it? That's what the scripture is today in Matthew chapter 6, and a little bit in Hebrews. And I already see after the first service we know it's too long. So, but thank the Lord, Danny puts it up for us. If you ever want to look at it, there will always be notes on the website and scriptures that go along with it. And our sound is supposed to be working again. We've been away from it for 2 or 3 weeks when our board was down, but the recording is back up again. If there are a few people that listen to it for some reason. So if you're one of those, it should be back up today. If you're familiar with the name George Mueller, any of you ever read biography, George Mueller? In England, he and his wife, you look at his story, he was a pretty rough dude. God got his attention while he was in jail. And he and his wife, he was saved and married a lovely woman. And they went to Bristol in 1832 to do ministry. And they were horrified by the number of kids that were living as orphans on the street. So they took it upon themselves, God was guiding them to do something about it. So for a long time, that's what they did. And one of the main things George Mueller did was when there was a big need, they didn't just go and solicit help. They just prayed. And God met the need. And at the end of their, if you call it that, not the end, but at close to their lifetime's end, they were providing housing for 10,000 kids in 1800s. Wow, that's a big deal. And this is what he said. He said, where faith begins, anxiety ends. And where anxiety begins, faith ends. Wow, that is the issue. Jesus deals pretty seriously with it And the reason we're looking at it is we have a lot of concern about what's going on in our country. You have a lot going on. There's so many things going on in everybody's life, just to the few that I know about. Everybody's got enough to be worried about. But in all actuality, if you're worrying about it, you're sinning. That's it. Oh, I'm going to trust Jesus to get into heaven. He defeated Satan, but, he can't take care of this for me today or tomorrow. That's an oxymoron. They don't go together. And that's what this is. Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. He gets to chapter 6, and he's still talking about some things. And then when he comes up in chapter 6 with this verse, And he says, therefore, meaning everything that I just taught you all through the Sermon on the Mount and everything right up to this point, he says, based on all those things, and then he starts. You know, if this, then this. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious. You know, anxious is not in the Greek New Testament. That word is translated worry or anxious. It actually, what it means is, the word means to not be overly concerned that you're always thinking about it. Meaning, when he says, some of them actually, the newer translations say, take no thought. It doesn't mean that you don't understand your situation and you do what you can about it. No, that's irresponsible. That's not what it means. It means it doesn't consume you to the point that that is all you think about. That actually leads to panic attacks, anxiety. That's what it says. But that's the word that's translated. Sometimes it's anxious. Sometimes it's worry, depending on the translation you're using. Be not anxious for your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on it. Now, you remember in Jesus' day, as we looked last week, a lot of their whole focus was, I'm going to work enough today to have something to eat. Okay? It's not like us today. You know, when he's talking about enough to eat and drink, we go to our faucet somewhere every day. You don't even think about water, do you? When's the last time you thought about, am I going to have any water to drink? If your electricity went off a few days ago, you might have said, well, where are we going to get water from? Of course, you might have your water stored up already, but we don't even think about that. But for them, it was, you remember the Chosen last week? What were they dealing with? A bad well, a contaminated. That was a big deal. So when he says this, he's talking about what we would be thinking about as the main issues of life. He wasn't just talking about, because we don't think about water that way. We don't think about food that way. He's talking about what it takes to survive. Is not life more than food, and not body more than raiment, your clothes? Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor, and your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, I feed a lot of them because they eat my chicken feed. So God's using me, but God still does it, right? That's exactly what he means. God's going to take care of you even if you're using somebody else doing it, as long as you're not being a freeloader. You know, I don't believe in freeloaders. You know, the New Testament says, if he's willing to work and he can and he won't, let him starve to death. Boy, that would change things in the country, wouldn't it? And your heavenly Father, and are you not much more valuable than they? Does God not see us more valuable than birds? Yes, we have a spirit. We're made in his image. The birds are not. God takes care of them. He's going to take care of us. And which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit unto your life? Can you really change something about worrying about it? And why are you so anxious concerning your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil. They neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed, arrayed like one of them. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is day, here is day, and tomorrow is gone. It's burnt up, it's gone. And tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you? Look at this next phrase. O ye of little faith. You say you trust Jesus enough to get you to heaven because he defeated Satan, but he can't help you with the thing you're dealing with now. You've got to manipulate the system and try to get you away. Hello? He says, you don't have any faith. That's what he's saying. What shall you eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For all these things, he says, when we worry about that, we're acting like a lost person. The Gentiles, they don't have God the Father that they depend on to take care of them. Lost people don't have God the Father that they depend on to take care of them. He says, you're acting like a lost person. You say you're saved and God's going to get you to heaven because Jesus died. You're trusting him, but you're acting like a lost person. It's called practical atheism. We don't want to say that. We say we're believers, but we act like atheists. For the Father knoweth exactly what you need. And sometimes it's not the latest iPhone. Hello? He said he knows what you need. Right? Hello? But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll take care of the rest. You put God first in all those things, and he said, I'll take care of the rest. So you don't need to worry about it. I read a story. It was, his name was Whitelock. And he was the envoy, kind of the representative, you might say, a government representative for Cromwell to Sweden in 1653. And things were not going well for Cromwell and the nation at that time. It was not good at all. And he was worried because he's going to Sweden and all the stuff's going on in his own government. And so he's pacing back and forth. He's going to leave the next day, and he's really, really worried. And this conversation takes place between him and his servant, the guy just helps, that waits on him in his house. So this is what happens. The servant notices him, that he's pacing back and forth, and it's nighttime. He's supposed to be in bed, and he's not sleeping. He's worried. It's clear as day. He's worried. So we ask him. The servant comes to him, and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" Lovelock says, "Surely you can." The servant says, "Do you think that God was able to take care of the world before you came into it?" He said, "Well, certainly." And then he said, "And do you think that he'll be able to govern it whenever you're gone?" "Well, absolutely, certainly he will." Then he said, "Do you think that he'll be able to govern it quite as well now?" And he said, "Absolutely." And he realized, went on off to his bed and went to sleep. You're not the center of the world. You don't control it. That's what he's trying to remind. That's what Jesus said. "Listen, you put me first, and I'll take care of what you need." That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he means there. "Be not therefore anxious about tomorrow." I have enough to worry about today. Why would I want to start chalking up tomorrow, right? That's what he says. Don't be, remember, that I'm consumed with it. Does that mean I discard my responsibilities? No. Doesn't mean that at all. I'm supposed to do everything I can do, and then God will take care of the rest. It's not manipulating the system. It's not doing that. It's just doing my responsibility. "For the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient today." There's enough trouble today. Isn't that right? Anxiety, fear, worry, and stress are familiar in our day and time, right? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I don't mean to. But I understand. Some people even give their dogs stuff because the dog is anxious. I said, "What? Let him run out there in the yard and get all that out." You're telling me your dog's got anxiety? No, you just got a wild breed. That's what you got. You know, jumping all over the place. More and more we're hearing of an extreme form of that, but called panic attacks. Is that real? Oh, absolutely. Please don't. All that I'm about to say, I am not saying panic attacks are not real. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we can avoid some of them because we don't deal with them in the right way. Now, your temperament may gear you to where you would have to deal with it. You would have more of them than someone else, but Jesus does not qualify it. He just said, "Oh, it's okay for you guys to worry about it, but okay, you guys can't." Doesn't say that. He just said, who? All. Panic attacks. Wow. They usually are related to an unfounded fear. You know, I've never had one. Thank the Lord. It's kind of not my makeup, and thank the Lord I have that makeup. But I know some people close who had those, and this is what they describe. Overwhelming, overpowering, and it clutches the person's heart. Their heart races. They think they're about to have a heart attack, and they lose control. They just can't do anything. Is that real? Oh, yeah, it's real. I'm not saying that's not real, okay? You ain't got me there? Some people go out and say, "Well, he says there's no such thing." I didn't say that. I just said the way we handle them is not exactly a biblical way to handle them. That's the thing that I'm saying. Chills, perspiration, the person feels completely unable to cope. Kind of shuts down their life for a short time. Absolutely. True. Paul wrote about that. He said, "Well, Jesus didn't have the same stuff that we have." Remember now, these people are working every day just to have enough food for today. We don't have a clue how desperate that would be for people. Paul said, "I had the same thing. I have all these things I'm going on. I've been beaten. I've been doing this. I have all these responsibilities with church leaders that I'm working with." If anybody knows what it is, Paul knows what it is. He knows about what it takes to deal with it, of the concern of all the churches. He talks about it. So when you start saying, "Well, he don't know," we don't have a clue what it means to really be stressed out for something to eat or something to drink. We don't know. We don't know what that is. Anyone who knows and loves Jesus Christ is capable of handling the same pressure that Paul had. We can. How are we going about it? The wrong way to handle it is to be worried about it all the time. Well, you just don't understand. That's the way I am. You're not sacred, and I'm not either. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, Terry, why not? For you, it's okay. He doesn't say that. He just says, no, period. So every time that happens to us, we're actually sinning if we're believers. Why? Because we're not trusting him. Basically, that's what it is. Well, I can't trust you with this and God, so I'm going to have to do what I have to do myself. You're not doing it fast enough. You're not doing it the way I want to do it. I just can't trust you. Jesus himself said how many times in this paragraph, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't take any thought. Constantly, constantly, constantly. He's saying, that's not right. Why you want to do that? Is our country in a mess? You better believe it. Do I think about it? Just a minute. And I say, those yahoos, if God don't do something, and then I say, but God, you got it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to avoid paying all the taxes I can because they're going to throw it away. But I'm going to do my part. That's all I can do. But I'm going to trust you, God. That's it. That's what that means. If you sit there and watch the news 24 hours a day, you would be a psychotic. I mean, come on, ain't that right? I mean, I understand that. That's part of it. Worry at the same time, it is sin because it absolutely goes against what Jesus just commanded us. By the way, that is a command. That's a present imperative. It means you are to stop worrying. Not if you want to. A command is means what? You don't have a choice. And if you choose to do that, then you're sinning. And if I choose that, then I'm sinning. And every time I start worrying, who do I affect around me? Everybody. If I start having panic attacks, who is that going to affect? Not just me. A lot of people. So everybody's affected by it. Left uncensored absolutely can debilitate one's person to function at all. Absolutely. You know, Charles Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, he said, I've seen hundreds of people, none of them die of overwork, but plenty of them die from worry. It can do that to you. I mean, it can. It can kill you. And that's what Jesus says. I know it can. It's a reality. There's a concern about this from a psychology perspective these days. It's kind of, you know, I'm not against psychology. I'm against secular psychology. And, you know, Debbie's background is in that. So please understand, I'm not talking about all psychology is bad, but they put too much emphasis on you. And oftentimes they want to go back up there and dig up something in the past that causes you more trouble now than it was. You just have to let that thing go. You remember back in the 80s, I used to listen to John MacArthur a long, long time ago. So I have some history with him. In the 80s, they sued the church, Grace Church, because a young man that was in their church, they had done counseling with him in the church, and he had committed suicide. So they tried to sue him. Well, the news never tells you the whole story. Well, the whole story was, you know, they took it to the Supreme Court in California, and it was going to the Supreme Court of the United States, and they threw it out and said, wait a minute, this is wrong. Y'all can't do this. Number one, they didn't tell the whole story that not only had they been counseling him, that he had been to a secular therapist. And they've been doing everything they could to try to give him biblical guidelines why not to do it. So they cleared the church. But that's it. And then right now, it is in epidemic proportions where you get all this psychology from an evangelical leaning that basically has nothing to do with the scripture. It's just observations they make. Or they come up with this idea and this idea. But it really, they kind of throw off and really they say, well, you know, the scripture doesn't deal with this. Oh, really? Why not? A friend of mine a long time ago, he got a religious education. He didn't get a theological education. And he said that he thought next thing he was going to get was, and he was in a leadership position, a pastor in a church, that he wasn't going to go and go through that trouble. He was going to go get him a psychology degree. And I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking, what? You need to get you some theological degree first. Why? It was almost like psychology had all the answers, but the Bible didn't. And basically, that's what you have, even this day and time, from a lot of therapy standpoints. Oh, you can't just use the scripture. It's not that they can they don't use any scripture. It's all psychology. Remember now, all that can be distorted. I remember Tony Campala, who has lost his mind now. I don't mean that. I just mean he's so far off left, it'd take a pair of field glasses to find him. But he was a sociologist by trade, and this is what he said before he went so far to the left. He was a counselor. He said, what I've learned is 75% of the people will be a whole lot better off if they never go to a therapist. You can get better on your own better than if you go to them. And he's one of them. Why? Because they throw the scripture out. You know, and that's kind of where we are. Oh, well, God can't deal with worry. Jesus did a whole two chapters with it. So be careful. If you kind of buy into that system, oh, we're going to have to get this book, and there's a lot of antidotes, a lot of stuff. But a lot of times, what scripture do you see in it? Hardly any. And then it's misinterpreted because they don't interpret the scripture in the context of which it's written. They just kind of put something in there and try to proof text. It's kind of like a cliche, and it doesn't work. So you got to be careful with that. Now, we have to hurry up to the end, all right? It contradicts the biblical truth that our Lord Jesus, through his divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to this life that we need. We don't have to go outside to get something else. There is a guideline in there. That's what it says. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. God, Jesus didn't leave anything out. He said, but he wasn't living in 2023. It was worse then. Remember? When's the last time you went out there and tried to find a well that had some decent water to drink? Any of y'all? Some of y'all are old enough like me. You remember drinking water at the well, right? Drawing it up with a bucket. Some of the wells tasted horrible. Uncle Lonnie, I used to drink out of his lot. It was bad. I don't know what was wrong with it. It just wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't contaminated. It just, I don't know what it was. It was not good. We don't know what that is. Go around trying to find a well. What is the root of anxiety? And how can it be dealt with? He constantly tells us in this chapter, this, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Remember now, it's a mandatory. It is an imperative verb. It means you don't have a choice. If you're a believer, you can't brush it off and say, well, I just worry about the big things. Really? So it's okay? It's like saying, you know, I don't sin the big sins, I just sin the little sins. But isn't sin sin? Huh? Worry's worry, right? Regardless of what you're worrying about. It's amazing what some people try to find to worry about. You know, a lot of times we kind of worry about things that don't happen, right? You know, when I grew up, I was 10 years old because my brother was driving and he didn't have a driver's license yet, and he's 5 years older, so I know exactly I was 10 years old. And where we lived, it was 5 miles on the dirt road before you got to a paved road, and then 7 or 8 more miles till you get to a town. We were out there in the woods. You know, now they got paved roads everywhere out there. But then it was kind of out there. You know, we had to go toward town to go hunting. We were so far out in the woods. And I remember we'd taken the help home. We'd put in tobacco that day. And my brother was, we were taking, and I rode with him. We were taking the help that was helping us harvest tobacco, taking them home. And we ran out of gas. No cell phones. And he said, you stay with the truck, and I'm going to walk and get some gas. I'm 10. All right, and the thing that bothered me the most was we had just earlier passed the work detail on that dirt road. You know what that means? That means convicts, chain gang. Back in that day, they let them work when they were bad. Now they let them have stake in the police, in the cell. But then you work. When he left, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is the first worry that I remember having, and probably one of the worst worries I ever had. I don't worry about anything. I really don't. Thank the Lord, I've just got a personality. I'm thinking, what if they come back while he's gone? What am I going to do? That's all I thought about. He came on back. We got gas. You know what? The convict group was going the other way. They weren't even coming back down that road where I was. What I had to worry about? I worry about something that was never going to happen. Ain't that a lot of times what we worry about? Something that ain't happened yet. Why? He just said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just focus on what God said about what you need to do today, and he'll take care of the rest of it. We got to hurry to the end because we're already slow here. The two tense of verbs that he uses, one says, don't start worrying. And then another place he says, if you start it, stop. What does that pretty much covered it, right? If you've been doing it, you got to quit. And you know what that means? You get to have a part in that. You come to the conclusion where I don't have to be overly concerned. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to be a freeloader. I'm going to do my part, and then God's going to take care of the rest. That's what he says. If you haven't started, don't start. If you've already started, stop. We have to admit the worry is a common temptation in life, isn't it? Don't answer this out loud. What are you worrying about right this minute? What you going to eat tonight? You just ate. What you worrying about what you going to eat tonight for? Good friend of ours. He's a good cook, too. We'd be sitting down eating lunch, or dinner, we called it. And before we got it from dinner time, he said, what are we going to have for supper? What? That's being consumed. That's being consumed. That's what that means. It is constantly on your mind. You can't get it off course. You're worrying about it. Jesus said, no. Period. No. Well, it's not that easy. I didn't say it was easy. I just said when you do it, it's a sin. So if you don't want to sin, you need to work on that. And here's the guidelines he gave us at the end. We got to hurry and go, okay? It comes from the word choke or strangle. Whenever we worry, we're kind of strangling what God wants to do in our life. Chokes out all the life in us. You know what happens? In Hebrews chapter 12, one of the verses that's in this thing, it says, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, be careful that you lay aside any encumbrance that would keep you from running the race. You know, if anybody else a runner here? I know Alyssa's a runner in here. Is anybody else a real runner? You know, if you're training, you might put a backpack on with some weight in it just to help you. But when you're really getting a race, what do you want to do? You want to be light as you can. He says, in this race, you got to throw off everything that would hinder that, from materialism to immorality. It doesn't really matter what it is. Anything that would hinder that, and the main thing that he talks about in those verses is unbelief. When you fail to trust God, which is unbelief, you are keeping yourself from finishing the race the way you should. The Greek word for life in this same paragraph says this, don't be anxious about this temporal world psyche. Don't worry about what kind of car you're driving. Don't worry about what kind of house you're living in. Don't worry about how much your shoes cost. I remember. I'm not one for spending money on clothes. You said, we can tell. If I ever have anything that looks decent, it's because my wife bought it. I could care less. Never have had that. Don't care. Not a fad person. Despise fads. The only time you ever see me in holy jeans is that I just hung it out there on the fence and tore them, and I ain't got home to fix it yet. That's a disgrace in my book, okay? If you wear them, okay, I don't judge you. I just don't think it's right, you know. We didn't go to school with holy jeans, even though we were poor. They put a patch on it. They looked horrible, didn't they? Them iron-on patches, y'all remember? They were so stiff. Some of y'all said, well, what's he talking about? Just didn't do that. Didn't do that. Temporal stuff. People are consumed in this life about this nonsense. And Jesus says, no. And that's a choice you have to make. Does it really matter what you drive as long as you get from point A to point B safely? You know, if Jesus were on this earth and he had to drive, what do you think he would drive? What do you think? No, Jeeps cost too much. He wouldn't drive a Jeep. He would probably drive a Yugo. No, he's got more sense than that. No offense if you ever had one of those things. I don't know what he would drive, but it probably wouldn't be a Mercedes. You know, I'm just talking about, you can get good cars that are dependable that do not cost that much. Come on now. A lot of that stuff is nothing but what? It's a show. If you got a Mercedes, I don't care. But you understand what I'm saying? Let's get off of that, all right? I'm sorry. You know what temporal means, right? What do you consume with? The world and what the world says you need? That's basically all he's saying. He said, where is your treasure? That's where your heart is. Is it about having this type of a house, and that's all you're going to be consumed about? Is it about having this kind of driving machine? Then that's what you're going to be consumed about. And then you are not focusing on the purpose that God made us for. So it gets thwarted. Focusing on earthly treasure produces earthly affections. No, you go and put all that into a vehicle. You don't want to hold it. You don't want to haul any snot-nosed little kids around, right? Right? Especially somebody else's snot-nosed little kids. You know, you get a wore-out cab from New York, you put them in that, but you ain't going to put them in your car. See what I mean? But, oh, yeah, we love Jesus, and we're going to haul these kids, but we're going to have to put a trailer behind the car because they can't get in front with us. That's what that means. That's what that means. And children of God, we have a single goal, treasure in heaven, a single vision, God's purpose, and a single master, God, not money and not the world. You have to fight that always. All of us. Why? Because the world just makes it so important. Oh, if you're going to be somebody, you got to have this, and you got to do this, and you got to drive this, and they sell it. Y'all know that's right? I mean, that's it. And if you don't go along, they kind of make fun of you. Who gives a rat ski cap what they think? Right? Therefore, we must not let ourselves become preoccupied with the mundane things of the world. That's what he said. What? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then these basics that you really need, I'll give you. You don't have to worry about those. We don't have to worry about some of this, so let's hurry and get to the end, all right? How does this work? It says, take heed lest you there be an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief leads to anxiety. Anxiety leads to panic attacks. Why? Because you can't trust God. That's it. And that's how you boil it. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't care. That's what it says. When we are over anxious, we have taught ourselves, even as believers, we really can't trust God with this one. We're going to have to handle it ourselves. And because we can't handle it ourselves, this is where it leads. That's where it goes. Always. It is one of the evil conditions of the heart that comes from unbelief. Now, how do you do that? Let's go to some of those real quick because we're going to get out of time here. You deal with anxieties by battling unbelief. Man, you see it coming. You start to say, what am I going to do? How do I deal with it? You battle it unbelieving belief by meditating. Number one, you got to know what God's Word says. You know a whole lot more about what's going on Facebook than you know God's Word. Is Facebook going to help you? No. They'll just give you some ungodly counsel from everybody else who has already failed in that area, and you're going to follow them? Not everything on Facebook's bad. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of people, you're going to go there? Oh, we spend more time there or one of those places than we do God's Word. So we don't know what God's Word says. It says meditate on God's Word, and that's how he's going to tell us. You know, it's like this. Whenever mud gets on the windshield wipers are there to help swish it off. If you put water in it, God's Word is the windshield wiper. The Holy Spirit is the fluid. You put those two together, and it kind of clears things back up that we can see. Man, a tire's about to run off here if we don't do something. Well, we're falling right in this trap. Okay, let's hurry. Oh, ye of little faith. That's what he says. If we worry all the time, we're not placing our faith. We say we have faith. We just don't live like it. We don't live by it. Now, where my start is? We battle unbelief with this promise. For fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's a promise. Boy, that's a big promise. In ministry, if you're trying to do ministry, doesn't mean you're the preacher. Doesn't mean when I say ministry, it could be working back there in the nursery. It'd be teaching the kids. It could be whatever it is, the group that you're working with where you're trying to help people. Whatever the ministry is, we battle that with this promise. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It won't come back void. When we start thinking, well, this is not going anywhere. Man, this is not doing anything. Jesus said, oh, no, you stay with it. It's not going to come back empty. It's a promise. It would be easy to fail and doubt God, but this is how we overcome it, by the word. He said, I'm going to accomplish what I started. When we're anxious about being too weak to do our job, ministry-related or whatever you're in, we battle it this way. My grace is sufficient. I'll get you through it. My power is made perfect in what? Does that mean you don't work hard to do your job? No. You always work. Christians should be the hardest working people you ever see, not a bunch of lazy bums. And that's what they turn out to be. There's a lot of Christians I know I would never hire them for anything. Why? Because they're lazy. They freeload. That's not what God wants. We have an. What do we do about anxious decisions? Oh boy, you got to make one today? About tomorrow? College? Who's in the middle of that one? There's a lot to be anxious about there. when you got to make a decision, how do you handle that one? How do we battle that one? He says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you. Where does it come from? God's word. Other believers who are older and wiser than you are, talk to them. When we're anxious about facing opponents, I know you have no opponents. If you live for Jesus, and it says what? You're going to be persecuted. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus, Peter said, you're going to be persecuted. I don't look for a fight. I don't look for controversy. I don't like it, but I'm not going to run from it. You know, it's just, but when you, what happens then? We battle it how? If God is for me and I'm doing the right thing according to his word, I don't have to worry. God's going to take care of it. I remember our evangelism professor in at Criswell in Dallas, Texas. He told the story one time. He said that, and this was a grown man. He said Criswell College, Dr. Patterson had called him about coming to teach at the college. And he lived a long ways away, and he said, nope. He said, because if I'm going to come for an interview, I got to fly, and I ain't about to fly. He said, scared to death. He wouldn't fly. So he turned down the thing. He said, oh, no, I'm not coming. And his wife, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God uses the Holy Spirit through our people, you know. So what are you doing? Are you crazy? I'm paraphrasing. So he finally said, what the scripture says? What? Perfect what? Cast out fear? Love. If I really love Jesus, I can overcome this. So he got on the plane, came and taught there for a long, long, long time. Scared to death of flying. What are you afraid of? You know? All of us. What is it? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. When we're anxious about being sick, boy, we've had that reality, haven't we? Have it right now. Some people are scared out of their wits because they're going to get sick. You're going to get sick, and you're going to die, both. So, you do what you can. What do? We battle that. What does it say? Tribulation works patience, patience endurance, and right on to the end so that we're not ashamed. How do we do that? What about getting old? You ever worry about getting old? I'm old. There's a lot of oldies in here, aren't we? I don't sit around and think about that. We battle unbelief with this promise. Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. God said, listen, you ought to thank the Lord that you do get old and that you don't die at 18 months old. You ought to thank the Lord for that. You're going to sit around and worry about what else is going to happen when I get old? You're going to get old. God said, I'll take care of you. I have made and I will bear and I will carry and I will save, he said, Isaiah. When we're anxious about dying, there's the other one. Listen, let me give you a spoiler alert. You're going to die. Some of you are going to die before you thought you should. You've already lost people in your family that you thought should not have died early. That's just the way it goes. You don't have control of that. I don't have control of that. If you're worrying about dying, you better get with Jesus. Because that's the main thing. We battled it by this. None of us lives to himself or dies to himself. You're going to face Jesus one way or the other. You're going to face him while you're living and make that commitment. Or you're going to face him after you're dead and gone without him. You're going to face him. You don't get away from that. If we live to the Lord and then if we die to the Lord. So whether or not we live, we die to the Lord. It's part of it. You need to prepare for that. You need to teach your family. You need to teach your kids all about that so it's not such a calamity when it happens. Why do you want to worry about it? It's coming. For to this end, Christ died and rose again that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Wow. The scriptures tell us we don't have to worry about these things. God's already got it taken care of. You might just need to read the verses again to remind you before you're about to get over your head and worry. And say, God, I'm sorry. When we're anxious that we might make a shipwreck of our faith. You ever get to that point where you start listening to all this nonsense from all these crazy things and you start thinking, well, you know, maybe I was wrong and maybe this isn't right and maybe God's not real. Whenever you see that starting to come, what are you supposed to do? You go and you see what exactly? It's a battle toward unbelief. He who began a good God I'm feeling tempted here, but I know you started something big in me, and you're going to finish it to the end. So I'm going to hold to that because I can't believe Satan. He's just a liar, and I'm going to believe you because you're telling me the truth. So you get on away from here. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And what Jesus did? Remember? He said, Satan, it is written. And whenever he quoted the verse, the promise, the truth, Satan left him. He said, I can't win over this guy. Not with the word. And that's the same thing we have. He is able for all time to save those who draw near to him. Hebrews said, lay it aside. Lay all of it aside. What's holding you back? What's causing you panic attacks? What you so worried about that God can't take care of? You know? That's the reality, right? How much more free? I feel sorry for people who worry all the time. My dad was a pretty big worrier. He didn't have the Christ element in his life, the most of his life. I know that had something to do with it. Man, he was raised in a horrible time. His family situation was not good, so he worried a lot. In the end, though, he started seeing through Thomas and I, hey, Dad, that's superstitious. Jesus is in control. He finally let loose of some stuff. Somebody had till he died. The same thing with us. Jesus knows we're going to be confronted with it. It's normal. It's normal for something to happen in our life where we're going to be stressed out and worried, but we have to see it and say, wait a minute, your scripture says this. This is what I'm going to hold to because Satan's a liar. He's going to try to tell you, oh, no, this can't work. And you go back to God and he says, oh, yes, yeah, I'm going to take care of it for you. Look at this one. Many Christians still live by works. Oh, if I teach this class or if I do this, you know, God's going to, you know, whenever Jesus told them, whenever the writer of Hebrews told them to lay aside, you look at the whole context of Hebrews, he's absolutely talking to Jews who were, covered up in legalism. There's a lot of Christian legalism. Well, if I do this or if I do this or I do this, Jesus is going to accept me. No, that's not it. It is by faith only. That's what he says in Hebrews, the whole thing. A weight or sin that so easily entangles us, and it is doubt. That's the big one. It is the big one. The most basic battle of our life is, will we doubt what God says about we need him, number one, to be saved? And number two, can we trust him? He said he was going to take care of us. Can we trust him for that? It's all about doubt. Can I believe God or not? Will I believe God or not? God's going to take care of us if we trust him. Might not be the way you like it. Remember that verse in the Old Testament? It says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. God said, you focus on me, I'll take care of the rest of what you need. Let's encourage one another through this year. It's going to be tough. It is. It just can't help but. The way we've been living in our country the last few years, it can't help but be tough, okay? But God's in control, and we can trust him. That's the main thing. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you have a plan and that nothing's going to mess it up. Lord, help us just to trust you. Help us read your word and help us depend on others to encourage us as we read your word and study. And Father, help us just fight that unbelief and that doubt and help us just place our faith in you afresh every day. Help us do our part and not be lazy, but help us do our part and then trust you that you're going to see us through it. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great day in the Lord. Y'all have a good day.